This is Dr. Benny Tate, and you're listening to the Leads Club podcast, all about leadership, personal growth, and encouraging you in your walk with God. Our goal is simple, to help you lead like you never have before in your church, business, home, or whatever platform God has given you. Our next Lead Club session begins now. Greetings, and I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Leads Club. It's my privilege to once every month or two to be able to come to you and share some wonderful, wonderful principles that are for pastors, Christian leaders, and churches so they can get to the next level. Recently, I sat down with my staff. And I talked to my staff about a book that I read actually in 2004. It was a book written by a man by the name of Hans Finzel. And the title of the book was The Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make. The Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make. And I love the book. Hans Finzel, he started out talking about what leadership really is. He talked about the fact that leadership is influence. Leadership is not a position. Leadership is not a large salary. Leadership is influence. And then Hans Finzel made this statement. He said, a leader takes people where they would never go on their own. A leader takes people where they would never go on their own. And as I read this book, The Top 10 Mistakes That Leaders Make, I said, I want to give my staff this lesson, but more than I want to even give my staff, I want to give it to our pastors and our Christian leaders that I have influence with. See, the Bible says this in Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. I love what Paul said. He said, I have learned. And in Philippians 3:13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. And Paul was a leader that was constantly learning. And this is what I have learned about leading people for 35 years. You don't microwave leaders. You crock pot leaders. Leaders are always learning. So the principles in this book are the 10 top mistakes that leaders make. And I want to give them to you on this taping. And I pray that these 10 principles, because that's what they are. See, methods are always changing, but principles never do. Somebody said methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing, but principles never do. Now, this book was written in 2004. I mean, literally, we're talking about many years ago. But the principles of this book are sound. So I want to give you those principles. Principle number one, a mistake that leaders make is the top-down attitude. The top-down attitude. And when I speak of a top-down attitude, I'm talking about abusive authority. I'm talking about leadership that simply says, I'm in control and you do it because I tell you to do it and I am the leader. It's referred to as the top-down attitude. But we know that that's the antithesis of what the Bible teaches, because Jesus taught us servanthood. And Jesus taught us team building. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 14, If I then, your Lord Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus teaches us to be servant leaders. See, the greatness of a person is not but determined by the number of people that serve them, but the greatness of a person is determined by the number of people they serve. We're to be servant leaders. I remember years ago we were having a men's breakfast, and Dan Cathy, actually the leader of the company Chick-fil-A, was going to be our keynote speaker. And it was getting time for the speech, and I kept looking at this breakfast to try to locate Dan Cathy, but he wasn't with us. And then I noticed there was a man that was cleaning off the tables. There was a man who had a towel, and he was washing down the tables, and he was asking people if they needed something. And I realized, that's my speaker. That's Dan Cathy. That's the president of Chick-fil-A. But see, Dan Cathy understood something. That leadership is servanthood. And it's a great mistake when we believe that we lead people from the top down. We lead people from the bottom up. So it's a mistake that leaders make. There's a second mistake that leaders make. It's putting paperwork before people work. It's putting paperwork before people work. We need to realize that people are opportunities, not interruptions. And only through association is there transformation. In this book, he talks about the signs of a paper pusher. He said, the signs of a paper pusher are these. People bother me. They are interruptions. I prefer to be alone to get my work done. Ministry would be great except for the people. Out of touch with networks and currents in the workplace. Tends to run over people, insensitive. Listens poorly, if at all. Impatient. Tend to say, out with it. Alone, aloof, and lonely. Self-worth is based on accomplishment. I remember years ago, I had one staff member, and I was standing on the platform one Sunday morning, and I saw my staff member. And I saw some people walk in through the foyer of the small church. And I saw that staff member walk directly by those people, never stopping to speak, share a kind word, shake their hands, just simply walk right on by. After the service was over, I called that staff member in. And I said, I saw from the stage you walking by those people as they walked in. And I just wondered why. And I will never forget what he said to me. He said, I walked by them because I had work to do. And I said, no, you missed it. They are your work. That's why we're here. Because without the people, there's no need for anything else. See, as shepherds smell like sheep. And a mistake that we make is when we put paperwork before people work. Pastor, I'm all for sermon preparation. And you need to take time to prepare your sermon. But I can assure you, if you're spending 40 hours a week in your office preparing the sermon, there are not going to be many people there on Sunday to listen to the sermon. Because what you're doing, you're putting paperwork before people work. Mistake number three that leaders make is the absence of affirmation. The absence of affirmation. Yes, all people All people respond to praises and raises. Mary Kay Ash used to say that every person you encounter has an invisible necklace around their neck that says, "Make me feel good about myself." One little boy said, "Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw and you say wonderful." I think there's a reason why Hebrews 3 and 13 says, "But exhort one another daily." See, we make a great mistake when we don't affirm and encourage our people. You know, as I looked into this chapter that was written, he spoke of the importance of writing notes. He spoke of the importance of sending cards and just affirming people. Now, you know, we do a lot of that through text and we do a lot of that through email. But I'm convinced there's nothing any more powerful than just a handwritten note. Just a handwritten note encouraging people. Well, one of the mistakes we make is the top-down attitude. Another mistake we make is putting paperwork before people work. The third mistake is the absence of affirmation. But then the fourth mistake is when there is no room for mavericks. When there's no room for mavericks. And when I'm speaking of a maverick, I'm not talking about a person that's disloyal. I'm not talking about a person that causes conflict in your organization. I'm talking about a person in your organization that questions the status quo, that wants to know the why behind the what. Because this is what I've learned. This is what I've learned. And I have mavericks on my team. I have mavericks that question the why beyond the what. I have mavericks that are challenging the status quo. And this is what I've learned about those mavericks. They'll help you to get to the next level. No, perhaps every idea that they have is not going to work. But many times they will. And I would encourage you as a leader, be open to change. Be open to doing something a different way. Be open to canceling some things and stop doing some things. Because they simply don't work anymore. You know, this is what I know about a true maverick. They care not just for their own ideas, but for the goals of the organization. True mavericks are making a difference in their present position. True mavericks are willing to earn the right to be heard. And true mavericks have people who are following their leadership, and it is producing good results. Friend, you don't want everybody in your organization just like you. Get real. When Jesus chose the 12, I mean, he chose publicans. He chose tax collectors. He chose fishermen. He chose literally a zealot that wanted to overthrow the Roman government. Jesus had some mavericks around him. And it's good to have some mavericks around you. And it's a mistake when we have no room for mavericks. Let me tell you the fifth mistake that leaders make is dictatorship in decision making. Dictatorship in decision making. I love what Woodrow Wilson said. Woodrow Wilson said, "I want to use all the brains I have and borrow all I can." I'll tell you today, after being in ministry 35 years, some of my best thinking's been done by others. You know, when I first started out, I wanted to be original or nothing. And I just about ended up originally nothing. And so what I would say to you as leaders, is use other people's strengths. Don't be a dictator. Other people can help you in decision making. It's a mistake that leaders make when they're a dictatorship in decision making. Number six, this is a mistake that leaders make. It's the mistake of refusing to delegate. I love what D.L. Moody said, the great preacher from days gone by. He said, I'd rather get 10 men to do the job than try to do the work of 10 men. I'd rather get 10 men to do the job than try to do the work of 10 men. But many times, as leaders, we don't delegate. And let me explain to you why. There's some reasons why we don't delegate. Reason number one is fear of losing authority. Reason number two is fear of work being done poorly. Reason number three is fear of work being done better. Reason number four is an unwillingness to take the necessary time. Reason number five, fear of depending on others. Reason number six, lack of training and positive experience. See, there are four stages of delegation. You know, this lesson is 10 mistakes that leaders make. If I did a lesson on my leadership, I'll promise you it would be far more than 10 mistakes that I've made. But I can say with affirmation, this is an area that I do well. It's an area I do well. Because the reason why I do it well is there was a time in my life that I realized I was doing everything I could possibly do. And I came to the conclusion, the only way I can possibly do more and have more outreach is through other people. And it's through delegating. And let me share something with you. If somebody can do it 70% as good as you, delegate it. Perhaps after just a little while, they'll be doing it better than you. But there are four stages to delegation. These are the four stages. Number one, assignment. You tell the person what you want them to do. Step number two of delegation is authority. You give people the assignment, then you give them the authority to do the task. Stage number three is accountability. They're accountable back to you. After you give them the assignment, after you give them the authority, there's the accountability. Somebody said, people do what we expect. Yes, people do what we expect, and sometimes people do what we inspect. There's that accountability factor. We all need it. Stage number one, assignment. Stage number two, authority. Stage number three, accountability. Stage number four, affirmation. See, when we delegate, there are four questions that every follower will ask. Question number one, what am I supposed to do? Question number two, will you let me do it? Question number three, will you help me when I need it? And question number four, will you let me know how I am doing? As I travel, as I spend time with churches, I see a great need a great need that leaders have, and that need is to delegate. It's a lesson that Moses had to learn, and his father-in-law taught him that we must delegate. He said there's a seventh mistake that leaders make. He referred to it as communication chaos. Communication chaos. He said, never assume that anyone knows anything. Never assume that anyone knows anything. I have learned that people are down on what they're not up on. And people have to have clear communication. Clear communication. Every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m., from about 9 to somewhere around 11 or 11:30 every Tuesday, I meet with my staff. And the reason is clear. I want to communicate with my staff. I want to communicate the objectives. I want the staff to know where we're going. There was a guy who came by a house one day and he saw another guy in a doorway and he was struggling with a washing machine. He was in the doorway of that house struggling with the washing machine, so he ran up there and started helping the guy. And they pulled and they pulled and they pulled on the washing machine, and finally, after about 10 minutes, the guy said, "We're never going to get this washing machine out of the house." And the homeowner said, "Oh, I'm not trying to get it out of the house. I'm trying to get it in the house." Well, see, communication before would have solved the problem. And communication before will solve the problem in many, many organizations. But leaders make a mistake when they don't communicate properly and they have communication chaos. Number eight, he said this is a mistake that leaders make. It's missing the clues of the culture. Missing the clues of the culture. In every church and every organization, there's a culture. Can that culture be changed? Certainly it can. And many of the cultures need to be changed. But in every church, there is a certain culture. And it's so important for the leader to understand the clues of that culture. Many times pastors will go off to a conference. Perhaps they go off to a conference in a metropolitan city. And they perhaps go to a mega church, a church that's trendy, a church that's on the cutting edge. And they learn and they're encouraged. But sometimes they come back to their local church and they try to acclimate everything into that local church setting. And friend, it doesn't work. They don't understand why it doesn't work. Because it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of your culture. It's a matter of your culture. I love the story about the pastor used to tell about he went to a church and he said the piano was on one side of the sanctuary. And he said it needed to be on the other side of the sanctuary. And he asked his dad, he said, "Dad, if I move the piano from one side of the sanctuary, it's going to cause all kind of problems, it's going to cause all kind of problems. Dad, what'd I do?" He said, "Son, 6 inches a week, 6 inches a week." Many times that's how we change the culture. But I'd say to you, wherever God has planted you, don't miss the clues of the culture where you're at. Don't miss the clues of the culture where you're at. They are things that are paramount. They are things that are special to that culture. And I would encourage you to be conscientious of those things. And it's a mistake that leaders make when they miss the clues of the culture. Let me tell you the knife mistake that leaders must make. It's success without successors. Success without successors. If you study the Bible, Moses, literally, in Deuteronomy 34 and 9, placed his hand upon Joshua and said, Joshua is to be my successor. And Joshua was the man that led the children of Israel into the promised land. Jesus literally poured his life into 12 people. Poured his life into 12 people. Paul had Timothy. But you know what's interesting, folks? Moses did a great job pouring into Joshua. But Joshua never had a Joshua. And there really is no success without a successor. And whoever the leader, if you're the leader, you've got to be secure enough to impart into a successor. You've got to realize that you had your period, you had your time, but there's going to be another time. See, I've given 27 years of my life to this ministry here at Rock Springs. Hypothetically, let's say I stay 40. I truly believe that after I'm gone, the best days of this ministry will not be behind it, but it will be ahead of it. See, friend, if you leave your church, if you leave an organization and it falls apart, you didn't build it on the right stuff. No, it's not to be built on a person, a personality. It's got to be built on a foundation that's greater than that. It's got to be built on the Lord. It's got to be built on people looking to the Lord. See, if you were a choir leader and it falls apart after you leave, you didn't do a great job. No, it should be stronger. But it takes a secure person. A secure person to say, I want the person who follows me to have more success than I had. Because the goal is more important than any role. Principle number 10. Failure to focus on the future. Failure to focus on the future. Our dreams, our visions, the future has got to be greater, ladies and gentlemen, than the past. Our future, there has to be a greater focus on the future. I mean, if the greatest days in our churches is the annual cemetery day, when we focus just on those that have died, if that's the day of greatest attendance, we've missed what's really important, because our focus has to be on the future. And our focus has to be on reaching people and making an impact in the lives of people. I often tell churches, see, the church doesn't exist for those that are here. The church is the only organization that exists for non-members. It exists for those that are not here. And when you make that statement, that's futuristic. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are some mistakes that leaders make. And in Hans Finzel's book, he gave the top 10 mistakes that leaders make. I love the quote from Rick Warren. Rick Warren said, it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others. And I heard that quote. It's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others. And I added something to it. And not near as painful. It's wise to learn from experience, But it's wiser to learn from the experience of others and not near as painful. We learn 10 mistakes that leaders make. Well, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for your time. I realize you're very busy. I literally want to pour into you. I want to pour into you as a leader. That's my heart. That's why you receive this CD. There's no price tag. We're not asking for any donation. We literally pay the postage to get it to you. Our staff, we pay our staff to reproduce the CDs. We package them up. Literally, it comes to you simply as a gift because it's my investment into your ministry. And always end the Leeds Club by giving you a couple ideas. I've learned that if when I've gone to a conference, many times what determines whether or not it's a good conference is if I got a good idea or not. And I want to give you pastors a couple ideas that I think can be very, very beneficial. Ideal number one is Easter is coming up. Easter is coming up in April. And I would encourage you a month before Easter to consider preaching a sermon series on evangelism and reaching your friends and family members and co-workers for Jesus Christ. This is what I've learned. If you do nothing, you'll have a good crowd on Easter. But last year we decided if we really mobilized our people, if we really challenged our people to bring their friends, what could we do? And friends, what was so amazing, we had the largest attendance ever in the history of Rock Springs Church. And we go back to 1852. We had 5,283 people, the largest attendance ever. And I truly believed it was because a month before we placed an emphasis on evangelism and inviting your friends, inviting your family to church on Easter. And when you do that, add an additional service. We add a Saturday night service at 6 o'clock. Perhaps you want to add an 8:30 service on Sunday morning or Saturday evening service or whatever your culture, whatever would work in your culture. But certainly consider adding an additional service. And I truly believe you'll have the greatest day ever in the life of your church. Idea number two, something that we do every year about a week before Christmas, we send out a letter to people in our church who have lost a loved one that year. It's a personal letter from me, and I'm letting that person know that we realize this is their first Christmas without their loved one. And we're letting them know that we're praying for them. And then also with that letter, we place the poem, My First Christmas in Heaven. And people who have lost a loved one, they get that personal letter from me, and then they get that poem, My First Christmas in Heaven. They usually get it 3 or 4 days before Christmas. And then, on December the 23rd or 24th, I'll call those people, and I'll just let them know, I know you're getting ready to celebrate your first Christmas without your loved one, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And many times I'll have prayer with them right there on the phone. It's really been very effective. It's something that has helped our people because people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's just an ideal that you can do no matter how large or no matter how small your church is. People are still people. Well, I trust that these two ideas have been a blessing and perhaps been a help to you. I thank you for joining us on this edition of the Leeds Club. God bless you, and we'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us for today's Leeds Club session. We hope you feel encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information or resources about leadership, be sure and check out our website at rocksprings.online.com/leadership. Join us next time for more insights on leadership, personal growth, and encouragement. As you walk with God, we want to help you get to the next level.